Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your fantasy sports news update here. Crazy stuff going on in the NFL today, this afternoon. Joe Flacco, he's off to the Mile High City. The Baltimore Ravens had agreed to trade the veteran quarterback Flacco to the Denver Broncos. The Ravens, in exchange, are going to get a mid-round pick in return. The trade will be made official after March 13th. Flacco, the Super Bowl MVP, now 34 years old, and last season lost his starting job to quick quarterback Lamar Jackson. In 9 games in 2018, Flacco threw for 2,465 yards. He had 12 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions. He has 3 years remaining on his existing deal and will earn $18.5 million in base salary next year unless he decides to rework that contract. The question now is what's going to happen with Broncos starter Case Keenum. He signed a 2-year deal with Denver in the offseason, but he's struggled in his first season there in the Mile High City. The Broncos say they're now going to try to trade him. Keenan could be asked to take a major pay cut or be released if a trade is not reached as well. He's guaranteed a cool $7 million in 2019 and carries a cap hit of $21 million. Keenum, who turns 31 in a few days, is coming off a year where he completed 62.3% of passes for 3,890 yards, 18 touchdowns, but he also threw 15 picks while leading the Broncos to a disappointing 6-10 record. The former undrafted free agent had a career year in 2017. That was back with the Vikings. He went 11-3 in the regular season and led them to an NFC championship game where they lost to the eventual Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a strange move.
Yes, very strange, Morenci. Hey, how you doing, buddy? Yeah, very odd. Very odd. I don't think Flacco's going to really help, you know, in Denver. I don't think he's the guy. And
it's not like he's in. We'll talk about it, but it's not like he's an upgrade on Keenum that much. You can argue
he's a downgrade.
People
could argue that.
Bronco fans buy anything Elway does, man. It's crazy. It really is. They're like, oh, he's. People are comparing Flacco's record in his career to Case Keenum. You know, Joe Flacco, that was a while ago when he won the Super Bowl, bro. I was living in Vegas.
2012, like, yeah.
Yeah, athletes, years ago. Like, times change, right? We're going into the 2019-20 season next year. That's 8 years later.
Yeah.
It's not a knock on Flacco. He had a nice career, but, you know, Joe Flacco should be signing as a backup somewhere. Not, like, this is a lateral move by the Broncos, dude. It doesn't make them any better. Doesn't get them a quarterback in the future. Like, people, oh, maybe they'll draft someone. It doesn't appear like Elway when it comes to quarterbacks. The guy's clueless, which is hard to
believe.
No,
that's the thing. And he's a quarterback. It's funny, Vegas, actually, when you say that, they looked at the odds. Denver now, Gabe, I checked out a couple sites, from 100 to 1 to 125. So they think they're going to be worse. And Baltimore was 30, and now they're 28. So they think they're better without Flacco. So that's, hey, Vegas, that's their small little adjustment. So I'm with you. I don't think it's really going to help Denver at all. Flacco's old, and this move makes not a lot of sense at all. But, Elway wants to stir it up. Hey, good news in baseball, the Phillies and young star Aaron Nola have agreed to a 4-year, $45 million contract extension. That includes a 5th-year club option. The contract will cover all 3 of Nola's arbitration years, and a hearing was slated for tomorrow, but they don't need that now. The 25-year-old coming off an amazing breakout campaign, which saw him post a 2.37 ERA. He struck out 224 en route to a 3rd-place finish in the NL Cy Young voting. So good on Aaron Nola. I remember we had the wins over with him last year and cashed that one early. Free agency might be slow this offseason, but the players are winning big in arbitration. So far today, Houston Astros starter Gerrit Cole, Cleveland Indians righty Trevor Bauer, who had a nice year, and Cincy Reds southpaws, these guys all winning their arbitration hearings today. So players so far out of the 9 hearings have won 6. A few minor league signings in the MLB today. The Oakland A's have signed former Twins player Robbie Grossman to a 1-year deal, and the D-backs ink catcher Caleb Joseph also to a 1-year deal. Let's take a look at the NBA hardwood tonight. 11 games on the docket. Brooklyn -8 at Cleveland. The total 220. 4 there. Milwaukee minus 4.5 at Indiana, 218.5. Detroit at Boston, big wins for the Celtics last night. Celtics minus 4, 210. Philly minus 9 at the Knicks, total 222. Washington at Toronto, the Raps double-digit favorites at 10, 232.5. Memphis and Chicago, Bulls minus 1.5, 209. Houston and Minnesota, the Rockets are laying 4, 232. Miami and Dallas, Mavs are 2.5-point favorites, 208. And Sacramento and Denver, Nuggets minus 7.5, total 230. And guard Isaiah Thomas will be making his season debut for Denver tonight. The 30-year-old has been out of action since last March, so that should be interesting. Golden State and Portland, Warriors minus 3, 234. And Phoenix at the LA Clippers, LA minus 8. Gabe, it was a great night in the NBA. All our dogs were cashing, except for our damn total, because it went too high in the Lakers Hawks game. But other than that, it was a pretty good night. Ajax and Real Madrid in Champions League soccer action this afternoon. It looked like Ajax scored a goal but ruled a no goal, so they're scoreless at the half. And
Of course they are. It'll probably end up 2-2.
Yeah, exactly. Both games are scoreless at the half. We'll see if we got deja vu today. Tottenham and Borussia Dortmund also zeros at the break. NCAA action tonight, guys. We'll get you updated here, but just want to get this in before the end of the update. Number one, Tennessee hosting South Carolina. Vols minus 15, 149 at 6:30 p.m. And another great game at 6:30. Villanova and Providence. Nova minus 10.5, 135. I'm Cam Stewart. Great show today. We got capper Mark Lawrence, friend of the program, Gamblu and Super Capper. Gabe Morenzi, he hosts Red Heat and Rage. A whole lot more DFS and picks. Hey, we'll be back after a short break. Keep it locked to Red Heat Rage.
Join the experts live on the air every day by calling in at 844-843-6879 to join the Fantasy Sports Network. Game time decisions.
All right, let's do this thing. Game time decisions, Red Heat Rage, our radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Gabriel Morenzi. You just heard that Cam Stewart. Wednesdays, we're always very busy. Mark Lawrence will join us in about 10 minutes time. We've got Lou from Gamblu. Kane Velasquez returns after a prolonged layoff. I don't know, man. I thought I saw someone that says he returns after a year layoff, but it feels like it's been a long time, and I guess it's sort of fitting, Cam, because Kane Velasquez was sort of dominant and really good when Joe Flacco was.
Exactly, and 2012.
Again, I'm not being disrespectful to Kane Velasquez in saying that, but, dude, we had Kane Velasquez on, like, doing a live show at Shea Perret in Montreal on Hardcore Sports Radio.
I know.
Because I remember Orville was there. I remember sitting. I don't know. You were there? Were you there in that back room?
Yeah, well, I was there. It did the other stuff.
It wasn't the CFL Herb Great
Bean
Cup
day.
One.
No. You might have been. That might have been.
I don't think you were there. I think you showed up. I think that's the time you took the train with Forrest Griffin. I was already there.
Yeah, that's right. Good.
I was already there. Yeah.
Excellent.
I was already because it was Montreal. I'm good with this stuff. So
yeah,
it was that week. So. We had Kane Velasquez on then. You know what I mean? And he was pretty much like one of the best then.
Unbeatable then, yeah.
Like time changes. Like, you know what I mean? Like Quentin Rampage Jackson used to come on. Used to be one of the best. Now he's not. Like it's the way sports works. You know, like it's not like you and me that can just run our mouth for 20 years. You can't compete unless you're Tom Brady. All right? Like Tom Brady's
special.
The exception.
Yes, he is the exception. I don't even know what Forrest Griffin's doing now. What's he like? I have no idea what that guy's up to. Nice guy, though. I enjoyed my train ride with him. But you're right. Like these guys, and the fight game's a tough game, too. You're taking punches in the face. Your body's getting worked over. Like old guys, you said it. I don't like to see guys that are too old fighting because one fight, it might be their last. I just hope no permanent damage would happen. That's the problem.
Forrest Griffin got out. Like he didn't fight forever and hang on. He was kind of sort of lucky in the sense that, you know, he was part of that big fight on The Ultimate Fighter, the first one.
With Bonner?
So, yeah, it bought him a career for a while after the fact as a UFC ambassador, but they don't seem to be doing the ambassador thing very much anymore. They seem to be doing cash the check thing.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, let's roll. Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Gabriel Moretzi. Cam Stewart throwing it down with us. Lou from Gamblu.com will join us a little bit later on. We'll talk to UFC with Lou. The UFC cards just keep coming on a weekly basis right now. Now they're on ESPN Plus. Kane Velasquez returns to the Octagon. NBA All-Star Weekend this weekend. We got a bunch of games on tap this evening. We killed the underdogs last night, but college was rough last night. I was a day late, dollar short, bad money management. It was just sort of a sloppy night last night for me that got started with that stupid soccer. But let's bring in a true pro right now, Mark Lawrence, playbook.com's Mark Lawrence joins us from Florida. Mark, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific, guys. How are you doing?
Good stuff, Mark. Good stuff.
Pretty good, Mark.
It's the calm before the storm. Mark, March Madness is around the corner. Conference tournaments are around the corner. I was walking down the street today in New York, and the wind was blowing on the side of, like, a lamppost. They had a bunch of banners for some event. I couldn't tell what it was, but I wanted to see, and I stopped. I waited for the wind to blow back, and Big East tournament at that MSG, which is always always fun. But, you know, before we know it, March Madness will be here, guys. It's right around the corner.
It's unbelievable how close we're getting to it, Gabe. And right now, it's looking like some teams are beginning to really assert themselves, if you will. And you're looking for teams that maybe you want to start thinking about buying some future tickets on. But you know, I've also learned that buying future tickets now is sometimes not the most opportune thing to do, because once the fields are announced, when the pairings are made, sometimes these teams that you like right now are even longer prices once they make the NCAA tournament.
That's Mark, we'll get into the games. Yeah, I was just going to ask Mark, Gabe, and you saw that Duke-Louisville game last night, 23-point lead by Louisville. It's like Duke couldn't have played any worse, Mark, and then they turn on a switch, they start to come back, and then Louisville absolutely imploding. What a crazy, crazy basketball game. And that's the difference me and Gabe talk about between the kids and pros. When the wheels fall off, they really fall off, Mark. That was unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I don't know if it was as much of Duke or, you know, if it was Louisville, but the bottom line here is, you know, both of these basketball teams are going to be in the big dance, and it certainly looks like Duke is surely the team to beat in this year's NCAA tournament.
And I don't know if you saw this, Cam and Mark, but Twitter was ablaze last night, although pretty much every time Kelly in Vegas tweets something, Twitter lights up. And so Kelly in Vegas had a parlay last night, guys, a $100 parlay. She played LSU on the money line, like plus 311 or so to Ooh. Beat Kentucky. They went into the final second. She took Penn State to beat Michigan. That was like plus 360
That's
or something on
wow.
the money line.
She's got
she took
dogs
Louisville. She took Louisville to beat Duke.
No.
The $100 parlay would have paid $7,800.
Oh, that's horrible. Oh.
The rest is history. She didn't have an opportunity to hedge. The place that she was playing has max $300 in-game wagers on the app. She's in Vegas, right? So she played this at a local spot. Allowed to bet $300 a pop. What are you going to do, Mark? Another thing is, too, you got a 23-point lead. That's a rough one right there, Mark. I've heard a lot of bad beats before, but that's a pretty rough one. And pretty nice payday, too, $700,
$800. It sure is. And I think what she's doing is the really smart thing to be doing this time of the year. When you're talking about these good quality basketball teams that are puppy up to other quality basketball teams, it's like the NFL. On any given night, any team can win these basketball games, as we very nearly saw and should have seen with Louisville last night.
To me, though, guys, it's just sort of a precursor. We saw last night, we saw, you know, LSU, we saw Michigan go down, we saw the craziness of Duke and Louisville. Is this something, Mark, to keep our eye on moving forward as far as betting underdogs, in which this time of the year the numbers are a little inflated and, you know, the teams are getting a little bit more desperate right now. The games are getting a little closer, dialed in. Even bad teams start to play better basketball late in the season. I find at this time of the year, like you just said, Mark, underdogs are the way to go.
I think unquestionably they're the way to go because, you know, favorites will either lay down, coast, or choke. And, you know, the underdogs are striving to improve their positions either in the conference or to catch some tournament, hopeful tournament's director's eye. So I think this is an outstanding time to be looking at these live dogs right now.
All right. So as far as tonight is concerned, we've got NBA, we've got college basketball as well.
I think NBA underdogs, Gabe, 5-0. I think they went 5-0 last night. Even Utah covered at the end by, what did they cover, by a half point? They lost by 8?
Yeah, so we rolled the dice last night, Mark. We rolled the dice last night with some hot teams. The Orlando Magic have been pretty hot, a team in your area.
Yeah, that was great.
Magic have been getting it done. What do you think about tonight's NBA card, Mark?
Well, you know, I look up and down the card, and I think the key thing to keep in mind, I hear, obviously, is that we're going to the All-Star break, and it's a question of which teams have their golf clubs packed and are looking forward to doing just that. Sometimes you'll usually see these better teams coasting in these final games as they get ready the game before the All-Star break. And I have to wonder if Golden State can get up for this game against Portland tonight. They're not playing their best basketball, Golden. They took Portland out by 10 points the last time they played. They just played last night, Golden did, and wins a revenge game. So that could be, you know, the case of such of a team doing just that. You have to ask yourself about the Sixers tonight, Philadelphia, after losing to Boston without Kyrie Irving last night, what their mental frame, state of mind here might be. So, you know, the bottom line to me is on this card, guys, there's three what I call big ugly dogs that are playing with triple revenge. They've been taken out three times this year, those being the Washington Wizards, the Phoenix Suns, and the New York Knicks. And I happen to wonder if I don't think I stand a better chance to win two of those three than I do to lose two of those three.
Interesting. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com with us. Washington Wizards getting content against the Toronto Raptors. And, you know, Raptors have worked pretty hard in the first half. Well, first half or past first half of the season. But they've really been grinding. I think the Raptors are looking for a little bit of a rest. You got Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry both will be going to the All-Star game. Ananobi's going to the Rising Stars portion. So that's three guys. Am I missing someone else? I don't think so. Danny Green's part of the three-point competition. So that's four guys now. That's just off the top of my head, Cam. Just keep on popping up here. That are part of the All-Star weekend. The Raptors haven't been covering, Cam, when laying double-digit points. We saw they laid 10 the other night to Brooklyn. Was a bad number. And, then, Mark, it's a good example, actually, isn't it? Though they're laying 10 to Washington tonight. And, you know, they laid Washington are kind of a, you know, dead weight right now. And then they laid 10 to Brooklyn, who are actually a pretty competitive team. Seems like they just sort of blindly make the Raptors 10, 12-point favorites on a nightly basis now. They're not covering one of these numbers.
No, they're not covering the numbers. And you can oftentimes easily play down to the level of these teams, like I say, especially teams that you've tripped up three times in the course of the season. So these are dangerous spots here for these named basketball teams. As I mentioned, the game before heading to the All-Star break in what could be played down to their level type of games here tonight.
What about Boston, guys? Boston, big
Kyrie Irving last night.
They're better without Kyrie Irving. I've said this a million times. They're better without Kyrie Irving. We've seen it. They're laying four tonight, though. Big win tonight. That's the type of game that they would stumble suddenly after the win last night the way this this season's going. Minnesota's getting four at home tonight, but they're a very, very difficult team to trust.
Well, you mentioned, Gabe, Boston laying four at home to Detroit. I mean, that's a spot all into itself, just the fact that they played last night. Irving didn't play in the basketball game here. Normally, this is revenge for Boston, too. Detroit beat them the last time they played. Normally, you'd see a team like Boston laying double digits in a game like this, but it's only four, so the odds makers are doing their job. They know this is really a precarious spot for the Celtics here tonight.
Brooklyn, courtesy of the Coffee Club. Brooklyn 5-0. The visitor is 5-0 in the Cavaliers, their series, Nets and Cavs. Milwaukee 5-1 favorites with division revenge. Indiana just 1-5 with division revenge. Against the spread, of course, all. New York Knicks 0-5, Cam, against the money on Wednesdays, but I imagine they're 0-5 on a lot of days against the money this year, to be honest.
True.
All right, quick break. We'll be right back with Mark Lawrence, playbook.com.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Time decisions, Ready and Rage Radio continues, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Gabriel Morenci alongside the Cam Stewart, Mark Lawrence, playbook.com with us. Before we get into some football, we're just talking basketball to wrap this up. As we stated, you can subscribe to the Playbook, and it's a weekly newsletter. It's great for March Madness. It's great for college. Football, obviously, it's a staple and a Bible of the industry. Also great newsletter, March Madness. Mark has the recipe of the national champion, basically like 20 out of the last 22 years or so. And I look forward to breaking that down in the coming weeks. But a couple of quick takes. You can sign up for his coffee club. It's a daily newsletter in which you get great information such as the Syracuse Orangemen are 15-6 straight up, 14-7 against the spread since 1990. When seeking conference revenge in games with both squads sport a win percentage of less than 790. Meanwhile, the NC State Wolfpack have Duke coming up next. The home team in this series is just 2-7-1. So we should say the road team is 7-2-1 against the spread in this series the last nine games. Syracuse getting points tonight. Syracuse getting 3 points tonight. Mark, is it enough points with Syracuse? Were you hoping to get more, or is three okay?
I was really hoping to get more, Gabe. I know I was hoping to get 4.5 or 5, but the bottom line here is they know Jim Boeheim. They know he's got five starters back from last year's squad, and this is the time of the year that he'll be looking to kick it in gear as well. And NC State beat up Syracuse pretty good last basketball season here. So, hence, you know, the shorter number. But the bottom line is Syracuse has the ability, I think, in this game to win this game straight up on the scoreboard.
And another pick that Mark has posted, Cam, over at covers.com. The Colorado Buffaloes hosting Arizona State tonight. Hey. The Buffalo series hosts 10-2-1 against the spread in this. Sun Devils off revenge with Washington with another revenge game on deck. And just 2-11 against the spread for one reason or another before playing the Utah Utes. Buffalo looking to avenge one of their worst losses of the season, 83-61 beatdown in Temple. Play on Colorado, says Mark Lawrence. Colorado Buffaloes tonight. And, you know, Mark, that's another team in 2K. Colorado Buffaloes are a team that have gotten hot over the years in Vegas at that Pac-12 tournament, too.
True. Yeah, they have. Very true. They have. Exactly, and I think the situation tonight being what it is, strong home court, they've won 31 of the last 40 games on the scoreboard on their home court, but it's the altitude that works for them, especially you get later into the basketball season here, so they have this big revenge chip on their shoulder here. I think the altitude will work against the Sun Devils tonight.
All right, Mark, let's talk some Alliance of American Football. I told you last week that people were talking about this league. And as we saw, the television numbers were very good on CBS, pretty good on the NFL Network, CBS Sports Network, etc. But there does seem to be an appetite for football right now post-NFL, Mark.
Well, there certainly is. And just given the fact that the CBS is televising these games is going to go a long way toward their success. And I like what they've done in what the way they're putting this league together here. Charlie Ebersol is using the game plan from his father and mimicking and replicating a lot of what the National Football League is doing, and not gimmicking things up, and not giving them up like the old XFL did in the USFL. They're playing more of an NFL-style brand of football here, and a couple of things they've done here is obviously there's no extra point kicked. Everybody has to go for two, and they've shortened up the play clock a little bit here. But if you take a look, guys, at last week's results, aside from the fact that all four home teams won and covered their games, if you look inside the numbers of those games here, every game statistically played to the score. And what I'm saying that is if you do like rescores on games and you take turnovers out and look at just the stats, they almost mirror what the scoreboard said. The teams that won the games outyarded the opponents by the equal amounts, almost averaging the same way. So he got what he wanted, Ebersol did, and just the fact that there's some name players in this league, a few recognizable players, especially some coaches here, I like what the chances of this league is of succeeding here, especially given the fact that it's only a 3-month season here. I think it fills a real nice gap.
And you're exactly call, right, Mark. And for the record, the Gretzky database.
I really like the fact that they're out there. What is the issue that we have with the NFL, the secrecy, like under the helmet, the weird calls? We had controversy with the Saints and stuff. Like, they're very, very open to, like, trying to say, you know what, this is the call. We're going to actually go through it with you. And I think that goes a long way with people who are getting very, very sick and tired of beats with bad calls and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying, Gabe? I think that's
a
great approach by the league.
Well, people like the transparency.
Yes, exactly.
Because, Mark, you could hear the replay official. So there was a replay.
That's huge.
And you could hear the replay official talking with the referee, and she actually changed her mind, and she got it right. Like, at first, she's like, yeah, play on the field stands, and she's like, look, and then she's like, no, wait, and she's like, no, we were wrong. She's like, it's a touchdown. So they got it right there. Now, as far as the betting is concerned, it's only 1 week, right? It's going to take a couple of weeks, really, to really see who these teams are. We'll find out, but as Mark alluded to, the home teams went 4-0. The favorites, Mark, went 4-0. So the home teams are favored in all four games. They covered in all four games. Totals, 3-1 to the under. 3-1 to the under. And I'm curious to see, because they sort of posted generic 52.5s, 53s to 51s in week one. I haven't seen numbers yet for week two. By the time Sunday came around, they readjusted it up to like 45s, and then it went 1-1. So they can't lower them too much. It looks like the Spurrier's team can play and put points up on the board. They put 40 up on the board. We know Arizona are good. They lived up to their name in the hot shots. Salt Lake don't look too bad. But I got to tell you, Mike Singletary, guys, coaches the Memphis team. They got shut out by Birmingham. All right, the game never threatened the total. Now they've got to play against Arizona. It could be a problem for Memphis. So I'd be looking to lay the points with that game, guys. I think Arizona's going to roll them. And last thought on this, Mark. We got to give credit to Cornegay and Sherman and these guys in Las Vegas. They actually went, Cam, to San Antonio. Like, there was sort of an AAF camp. The teams played scrimmages against each other. They wore the helmets and a uniform so they get promotional material, etc.
Cool.
So that's how they set the future numbers. They actually went down to Vegas, guys, and they graded the players, the teams, and what they thought. And if you look, they said they thought that Arizona was the best team. Arizona won by, seeing points. They thought the second best team was Spurrier and Orlando. Orlando won 40-7. They made them the future favorites of the league, Mark, without seeing a regular season game after week one. Looks like the odds makers are pretty good at football scouts, too.
Yeah, tip of the hat to them. I think I agree with you, Gabe. They did a great job putting themselves in the position for the first week and doing their homework, having done their homework. I think ended up helping them as well, putting out some pretty sharp numbers here. Looks like Arizona is still the team to beat. Looking at the future odds, they're like plus 240, Orlando's plus 250. So those look to be the two best teams right now, at least given out of the gate. And also basing it on the one practice game that they had. Everybody played one equal practice game, and the stats from that also meld into everything as well. So I think, like you say, Jay did a great job. And you mentioned the totals here. Real quickly on the totals here, I had some kids in town here over the weekend here down in South Florida. They were quarterbacks at Kansas State in Indiana. They're brothers. I don't know if you remember the Kaufman brothers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
Yes.
They were the brother tandem. That
was it Case Kaufman?
It was Cameron and Chase. Chase and Cameron.
Yeah,
Kaufman,
Chase.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm having
I said Ace. My bad. Chase. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
Chase. Exactly. Chase and Case. Pretty close.
Alex Trebek would have said close, but no.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I would have been pissed off on Jeopardy. I freaking knew it. I knew it.
Screw you, Trebek.
But you know, the bottom line is walking. I'm having lunch with the kids, and they're putting an app together. They're really into it, really deep in all that stuff. So we're talking about the games and talking about the totals, and you know, the fact that they like the unders in all those games real well. And I asked him, "What's your take on all this?" He says, "Well, simply put, he says it's real simple, guys." He says, you're putting a new league together that's only had one game under their belt. You're trying to assimilate an offense. The defense is going to be way ahead of these offenses here. And, you know, they like the unders in all four football games. They cash three of the four. So the question now becomes, in week two, you know, when will the defenses when will the offenses catch up with the defenses here? Probably maybe not this week, but I think by year's end, I think this is going to end up being a much, much higher scoring league than I think people are in.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree, but I don't think Christian Hackenberg's going to be able to adjust in 1 week, though, after getting shut out 10 of 23, 67 yards. I believe they're going in Arizona. So that sounds fun. It's nice to hear, too, that these kids, they played NCAA football, and they're still involved in the game, putting an app together. We wish them the best of luck, Mark.
Yeah, that, and I'll throw this out there real quick here. The one kid who played at Kansas State, I brought up Bill Snyder. And they're thrilled at Kansas State, the fact that he's not going to be coaching. You know, not a disrespect manner, but given the fact that the style of football that the kids want to play, you know, he wasn't playing that style of football. He says, look at me, man. He says, I'm 6'3". I'm a drop-back quarterback, pro-style quarterback. He says, my first game I play, he's got me running the option. I ran the ball 24 times. He says, I felt like a battering ram.
You know? Yes. Yeah. In the Big 12. When you got guys throwing 68 yard bombs every play,
550 yards passing. Yeah, you got to.
But they're excited. This new coach they got is coming from North Dakota State, where Carson Wentz played. So they're
That's a good program.
They're all pumped up. The program is
No, that is good. And you know, it's too bad. You're always going to hear your stories on the way out. You know, Snyder tried to get his son. He tried to do a takeover of the program. They were like, hey, "We love you, coach, but your son's not taking over. It doesn't work like this." MarkPlaybook.com. Great stuff, Mark. It's a pleasure. Thanks for the time.
My pleasure, guys. Enjoy the game. Be well.
Take care.
Great stuff with Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Time Decision, Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Gabriel Morenci. Thanks to Mark Lawrence for joining us. Cam Stewart in the house. Good stuff as always with Mark. We're waiting for for lines. They came out last week around this time, actually.
Yeah.
We don't see any yet, but we'll keep hitting refresh. You know they're going to pop up soon.
They will. I've readjusted the futures to, like, I'm on my bookie there. I'm just looking. Yeah, so they've readjusted some futures after the first week, too. A couple things have changed, like Memphis now 20-1, San Diego Fleet 10, Atlanta Legends, who got they got smoked 14-1. So some of the teams went down, but Arizona Hotshots still the favorites at plus 225 to win it all, Gabe. And the thing I liked about Lawrence there talking about those kids, it's very interesting. When you were doing Gabe versus the Machine, you know, Sports Rage versus the Machine, it's interesting. When you told me, you know, the Daily Roto, what did they do well? Totals. You said that was what they were really, you know, making their bread and butter on during the NFL season. The sides were good, but the totals were real good and sharp. And when you put those number in the database there, and hence week one with the AFL 3-1 to the under, it just seems to be like one of those things that, you know, the Daily Roto guys really, when they put their numbers and crunched it and the Machine did its work, they did really, really well from a total perspective.
Yeah, they also had a 5-star play on the under in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You rest your case.
Yeah, it turns out in the lowest Super Bowl ever.
That should lowest be a 10-star play. Yeah, 10-star. Yeah, it was amazing. Great call. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems, well, today's day and age, the sides are so sharp, and teams are so even. We see this now.
Yeah.
Point spreads are very, very sharp. But I don't know. I'm not going to say anything's easier or harder than anything else, but it seems like – you know, you can project sort of and not worry about who's going to win the game and just worry about the tempo of the game, right? And take advantage of some of these numbers. College, though, college is different. Pro sports, and, like, that's the whole thing. Like, you know, when you talk about, like, betting on sports and sort of, like, theories. Like, people, like, you know, ask Drew Dinkmeyer questions. You know, what should I do in DFS? And he basically, he goes, I don't want to be a jerk, but he was talking about this yesterday morning, that every situation is different. Every game is different. Every situation is different. Every scenario is sort of different. And it's the same thing. Like, the same betting rules that apply to the NBA don't apply to college basketball. It's different. It could be opposite even, right? Like, it's not the same. Like, what works in football doesn't work in hockey automatically when it comes to betting.
Nope.
Some sports go under. Some sports go over, right? Some numbers are too high. Some numbers are too low. It's always evolving. But I think you can be successful playing totals, Cam.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. It seems like the more information, I think over a long period of time, when the information's there, the totals are where you want to go, especially in the National Football League. We had a great night last night, and with a lot of stuff, man. Like, the underdogs, Mark talked about it. Like, take a look at the underdogs. In college, we were good. You know, in the NBA, underdogs 5-0. Like, I'm just gonna. It's something that I've talked to a lot of people that I know who are successful gamblers, and sometimes you fall out of it because you look at something, and if you're looking at your wins and loss total in your account, going, ooh, the favorite always looks better. You know, you see a minus, oh, they should win the game, but I'm gonna make sure, like, just moving into the forward, trying to find as many underdogs values. Like you talked about Kelly from Vegas there, just bad luck. That would have been an amazing parlay to hit there. $100 getting over $7,000. That's fantastic. And these things happened.
Yeah, you know, but there will be nights where the favorites just roll. Like,
that's
what I'm saying.
That's true.
No,
well, it's going to happen. I'm just saying overtime, though. Overtime, like the money line dogs, when you're really, if you're selective and stuff, it's easier.
Like NHL.
NHL.
Well, I was going to say, and well, NHL's erratic, though. Like, I bet you if you add them all up, like, you know, have underdogs won more than favorites this year? Like, you know what I mean? We can look at sort of the units of NHL teams. But when you play totals, it's very similar to playing fantasy in a sense in DFS. You're trusting the numbers more, right? Like, you're just trusting, all right, like, this team does average 4.7 goals per game, and this is what they're doing. Like, you'll notice, like, a lot of teams in the NHL this year, man, they're like 8-2 to the over, 9-1 to the over, or 2-8 to the under. There's these extreme sort of swings with totals, but they're not like, not too many teams go 9-1 straight up against the spread or win 9 of 10 games. But see what I'm saying? Like, it's more common that a team will go over the number, like Duke. Like, let's use Duke as an example.
Yeah,
Duke are a really good team, but, you know, look, they're money to the under, man. You know what I mean? It keeps going under the number, and it's hard to trust it because you're like, God, it's pretty low. Like, it's really, it should get there, but now it's 16-6.
under.
Right? Like, you could just sort of believe in their overall average more than you can whether they're going to cover a point spread or not. All right, I think, what'd you say? We got, is it Riggs you said? Are we going to?
We got Riggs.
Ryan or Riggs?
Riggs.
Riggs. All right, we're going to Riggs. What's up, Riggs?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, Riggs?
All I heard was an R, you know?
Yeah.
R. Give me an R.
R. So
R.
I like.
You're killing hockey parlays this week, like puck lines, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, hockey was great.
Yeah, I lost last night. Leafs kicked ass.
Me and Gabe talked about that game, Riggs. Vegas isn't the same anymore. And I'll tell you something. Take a look at this team moving forward, too. What happened last year? They played Fleury so much. They don't have any trust in their backups and stuff like that. Like, Vegas is going to be a team you can play against, I think, pretty soon. They got to give that guy rest because, you know, he plays too much. Other teams have a 1-2 punch. Vegas doesn't. Like, Legacy and Subban aren't the same as they were before. Like, this guy has to start all the time because they don't trust their second and third string goalies.
Yeah, Toronto did good for me.
Sure did.
I'm on Sam Houston State tonight.
Ooh.
Sam Houston State. They
are 18-3 against the spread this year. They've covered the last 10.
Wow, that's a we're doomed. I'm going to mush it if I jump. Mississippi was once 15-1 against the spread. They're like 15-9 against the spread since I talked about it.
and then the Vermont game. I like that under.
Ooh, the Vermont Catamounts.
Catamounts.
New Hampshire.
Yeah, against New Hampshire. New Hampshire's terrible.
126.5.
Yeah.
Right now. New Hampshire, Cam, 3-20 on the season, 0-12 on the road. Those are my boys, the Catamounts. Another great year for the Cats. 9-1 straight up last 10 games, 8-2 against the spread. You're going, that's a low number.
Like
you're going under.
Though, yeah.
You don't think New Hampshire can score?
Well, no, I don't think New Hampshire can score against them. And then look at their under record, Vermont's.
Vermont Catamounts, they're 13-10 to the over on the year. New Hampshire, though, 16-5 to the under.
To the under, 16. There you go, New Hampshire's.
Yeah, New Hampshire, 16. They score 57 points a game. You got to be concerned, though, a little concerned. What if Vermont just, like, racks it up on them?
It could happen, but that line went from 30 to 23, so they think you're going to lay off them a little bit.
Where's the Sam Houston State game? What's that, at 8 o'clock?
-4.
8:30?
You know what game? You know what game I'm going to go to? And I'm gonna take a look, and this team is they were good earlier. I think I'm going to fade them. Oklahoma State has been good to me. I think Oklahoma State is going to cover against Texas Tech tonight. That's going to be one of my games on the card, Gabe. We got it done with Mississippi State blowing out Alabama last night, kicked their ass, and it's one of those spots where I think Texas Tech is a little bit overrated. I'm going to take the Cowboys, the Pokes at home, plus the 6.5.
Here's a game, guys. It's kind of flying under the radar. Listen to this one. You're going to just right in your wheelhouse, Riggs. Incarnate Word.
Incarnate Word.
Are out southeastern Louisiana.
Ooh.
Incarnate Word, 6-17 straight up, 0-9 on the road. They have mixed in a cover now or two. I mean, they lost by 11 the other night. They lost by 17. You know, they pretty much get drilled on a nightly basis here. Southeastern Louisiana, like 11 points. Yeah, Southeast Louisiana laying 11 points on their home court. Like, they beat Nicholls State by 21. Like, they blow teams out at home. Yeah, that's a weird game right there, man. Got some ugly,
that's some strange games
on the board tonight.
Well, I'm headed to the book right now, getting ready to pick up Uncle Corey.
Oh, you're going to go cash Corey's? It's Corey NBA parlay time.
Yeah. Corey's got money there waiting for him, so he's like, come pick me up. So,
well, he keeps winning. He's going to be able to take limos.
Yeah.
yeah.
I love that. I'll tell you, Riggs, I love that place. I had a great time hanging out with the blue-haired ladies, betting ponies, and it's my type of joint, man. I really like it. And we just went to one level. Like Marenzi said, hey, different levels. Like, we stayed upstairs there. God, man, I miss places like that. Because that's the problem with our horse tracks is you could play like a provincial lottery. There's no single game betting, right? You could play like a lottery ticket for the games that are going on.
Yeah.
It's not the same as stepping up to the window like a real sports book and watching the horses, man. It's a beautiful experience.
Me and Gabe talked about that the other day. I could do it on the app, but I like to have that ticket in my hand.
So do I. I like the paper too.
Yeah, well, we went to the book. I brought him upstairs because I know he's a big horse guy. And I said, oh, it's kind of a mix of both upstairs. And they had live racing too. So we were watching a live ponies at... couple of drinks later, yeah, we didn't really spend any time. Like, we didn't go downstairs to the book, but maybe Cam will come back for March at Madness.
Yeah.
We got a lot of people
we
actually.
Yesterday.
Yeah, Steel City Steve actually called in from Pittsburgh today.
All right,
Slick
I'll
Picks
let
you guys in
go.
Boston.
Have a good night. Night,
good stuff, Riggs.
Good luck, buddy.
A lot of guys talking about coming up to Atlantic City for March Madness, as opposed to going all the way out west to Las Vegas this year.
Yeah, I agree with that, man. I can't. That's the thing. I'm going to be going to Vegas in April with my brother, who I haven't seen in a long time. So I'm not going to Vegas in Vegas. If we do anything, Gabe, we'll meet in Atlantic City for a quick trip. I'm not going to Vegas twice in like a month. That's not happening. So, yeah, if we can get away for a weekend, that'd be great. If Steel City Steve and the rest of the gang could come up, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, I know a lot of listeners that are tuning in want to throw it down. We actually have some listeners in the area. Yeah, I like Vegas. I'm not anti-Vegas or anything.
No, I love Vegas, too. It's just long flight.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, March Madness is – it's cool in Vegas, but it's also annoying in Vegas, March Madness. It was last year. I remember, you know, a couple of events last year in March. Like, Circus was cool because basically no one wants to go to Circus. People only end up there by accident or if they like it for some reason or another, right? You know, like every other place, Cam, was brutal. I remember I went to meet Lou at the Mirage. Man, it was like 4,000 people. There's lineups everywhere.
Yeah,
it's overbearing March Madness in Vegas. The popularity is sort of, it's too much. So I'm sure Atlantic City will be pretty packed too, being the first Madness down there. One thing, it's actually, we'll see. Like, I don't know. I don't know which teams actually from the area will be in, but you'll have to bet that online.
Yeah, like good point. Excellent point. That's what they say, the New Jersey teams, right? You can't touch them. So,
yeah, but who's, like, St. John's, let's say they make the tournament. Yeah. They're not New Jersey, so you could bet them. Seton Hall even going to be in the tournament? Probably not.
They'll be bubble team right now.
They're on the bubbles. They're on the lower end of the bubble, too.
They are. Yeah, you're right. You won't even have to deal with that. I don't think there's going to be any teams from that region in there.
I'll tell you one team that won't be in the tournament, the Texas Longhorns.
Oh, yeah.
14-11 now. All Bruce Weber does, I'm going to stop betting against Bruce Weber, dude, in Kansas State.
That's
all they do
coach.
Is win. All they do is win. 19-5 now on the season. Big win in Texas. Shaka Smart now 14-11. Longhorns suck.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. Cam, you were talking about the soccer being scoreless earlier, and I said, yeah, it'll probably end up 2-2 before it's all said and done. I should have jumped in on the in-game overs.
Yep, you would have won both in-game overs. Ajax and Real Madrid. Real Madrid won 2-1 there, and Tottenham smoking Borussia Dortmund. I'm talking, wow, 3-0. They were the dog in that game, too. What a win for the Hotspurs.
That's a surprise. Well, I don't know, a major surprise, but I thought Borussia Dortmund, yeah, you know. I didn't know the odds before, so I don't want to say it's a surprise. But, yeah, 3-0 that Tottenham's beating
that's
a team
a big
for
surprise.
The Bundesliga. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a that is somewhat of a surprise. All right. We talked some college basketball. We got second hour coming up, which means Lou's going to join us. Actually, we'll talk UFC with Lou. Last week was kind of a debacle with the main event getting canceled the day of the fight. Literally, like, hours before, actually.
Yeah, it was crazy. Buddy, hernia.
Yeah, what did you say? You had the same type of thing he's got?
Yeah, I have a hernia.
He had the surgery,
fighter,
though,
right?
Yeah,
he had
the emergency surgery.
He had basically, this is what it goes with a hernia. Like, the thing is, like, if you can press it and it comes back out, it's fine. So, basically, what happened with Gastelum is when you're fighting or whatever, like, if you press the little ball in and it stays in, that's when it starts to get crazy. That's when you need emergency surgery, and that's what he had. So, he had to get that removed, or there could have been major, major danger. You could actually, like, die from it. So, like, he went right there. And I love the way these guys are treating him, too. Oh, yeah, this guy should be champion, whatever. The guy had hernia surgery. Like, what do you want? You think he wanted to miss the fight? Like, people are pretty rude to that guy. I've noticed, like, a lot of he's taken back some flack. Like, it's not his fault. I don't think the guy wanted to deal with that. You know?
No. You know, the problem is he always gets hurt. If you remember last week,
thing,
I said
yeah.
that. I said even in victories, he's the type of guy that wins, but he's in the hospital after because, he broke his hand and this happened and that happened. And, yeah, he's obviously a tough-as-hell dude. We're not saying he's soft, but it's a problem. You know what I mean? It has been a problem. And that's one of the things people don't appreciate about the one thing like George St. Pierre, how consistent he was, showed up every time, didn't get hurt. You know, that's part of being a champion, right?
That's true.
Like actually very competing true. And, you know, not being suspended, not being injured and all that. That's, you know, the difference between the good and the great ones. All right, we'll take a quick break. Cam gets his caught up today.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You got it, fellas. Back to live updates, fellas. Yeah, you got it, Yang. And we got news for you. Weird moves from the NFL, too. The big story today, Joe Flacco off to the Mile High City. The Baltimore Ravens have agreed to trade. Back to live updates, fellas. Joe Flacco, now a member of the Denver Broncos. Gabe and I talked about a weird move here. The Ravens are going to get a mid-round pick in return, and the trade, it's going to be made official March 13th. Flacco was a former Super Bowl MVP back in 2012, but the guy's now 34 years old, and last season lost his starting job to Lamar Jackson. In 9 games last year, he threw for 2,465 yards with 12 touchdown passes and 6 picks. He's got 3 years remaining on his existing deal and will earn $18.5 million in base salary next year unless he has to get that contract reworked. And then the question is, what about Denver starter Case Keenum? Yeah, he signed a 2-year deal with the Broncos in the offseason, struggled in his first season, and now the Broncos say they're going to try to trade him. Keenum could be asked to take a pay cut or be released if a trade is not reached. He's guaranteed $17 million in 2019 and carries a cap hit of $21 million.
It's a lot of money.
$21 million. He's 31 years old, too, Gabe. We forget about it. He's not a young guy. He bounced around for a lot of teams, too. So
listen, I'm not saying Case Keenum's awesome. All I'm saying is John Elway, figure it out. Every damn year, you're bringing in a new quarterback, and you just keep kicking the can down the road. That's my deal with it.
Let's see what he's done. Okay, so he's got Paxton Lynch first. That didn't work out. Yeah, then you go out and Keenum. Yeah, you know, like, yeah, he can't make up his mind. For a great quarterback, it seems like he's not evaluating quarterbacks very good. But, yeah, Keenum, 31 this month, Gabe. He had a year where it wasn't very good, 62.3%. He threw for a lot of yards, 38-90, 18 touchdowns, but 15 picks as well. And the Broncos had a 6-10 record, not good enough. So interesting stuff there. We'll see what happens. The Phillies and Aaron Nola have agreed to a 4-year, $45 million extension. That's good. The contract will cover all of Nola's arbitration years, too. His arbitration hearing was slated for tomorrow. The 25-year-old coming off an amazing campaign, 2.37 ERA, 2.24 strikeouts, third in NL Cy Young voting. San Diego Padres, very aggressive with their offer for infielder Manny Machado. The assumption is Machado will accept the highest offer, but it's unsure if he wants to play for the Padres. San Diego, they have the big offer to him, but apparently people in Machado's camp are encouraging him to accept a shorter deal with the New York Yankees. The Philadelphia Phillies and White Sox are still in the hunt, too. He's coming off a great year, 297, 37 home runs and 107 RBIs, solid. Free agency might be slow, Gabe, but a lot of winners in arbitration today. Houston Astros starter Gerrit Cole, Cleveland Indians righty Trevor Bauer, and Cincy Reds southpaw Alex Wood all won their arbitration hearings today. Cole gets $13.5 million. The Astros countered with $11 million. Trevor Bauer set to get $13 million. The Indians offered $11 million. Wood, $9.65 million. And the Reds countered with $8.7 million. So they're all winners today. And the players have been the winners so far,
you
winning
notice,
six of the nine meetings. The players are winning.
The players are winning the meetings, the arbitration hearings, meetings, whatever, because the teams are lowballing everybody.
Lowball.
But
exactly.
Even with the offers, they're really beating these salaries down, Cam. Like, they're almost getting the NHL salaries. They're like, yeah, we'll give you $10 million, $12 million. Baseball clearly
baseball's
doesn't want to
trouble.
Become the NBA, where everybody makes
baseball's
$20 million a year. They're like, we're not doing
correct.
It, right?
Yeah, but the players are getting frustrated, too. They're talking about players.
Yeah, they're not even paying Harper
like
and Machado now. Like, it's ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah, this league's, they got a lot of things to fix up there, Gabe. Let's talk about the NBA tonight. Busy, busy night, 11 games on the docket. Brooklyn minus 8 against Cleveland. Kevin Love out for the Cavs, total 225. Milwaukee still minus 4 against Indiana, 218.5. Detroit and Boston, Celtics 4-point favorites. Kyrie Irving out again for the Celtics. Philly minus 9 at the Knicks. The Knicks, what did they lose, Gabe? 17 straight, total 222 there. This line went down a half point. Washington and Toronto, the Raptors now minus 9.5. And we have news. Raptors with the Kawhi, first of all, Kawhi Leonard is questionable tonight, but Fred VanVleet, that injury we talked about where he's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks, they're now saying 5+ weeks with that thumb injury there. So that's bad news for the Raptors. Memphis and Chicago, Bulls 2-209. Conley probable for the Grizz. Houston at Minnesota, the Rockets are 4-point faves, 232. Miami at Dallas, the Mavericks minus 3-208. Sacramento and Denver, the Denver Nuggets are 7-point favorites, and Isaiah Thomas will make a season debut for the Nuggets tonight. The 30-year-old has been out of action since last March. That's interesting stuff. Golden State and Portland Warriors, only 3-point faves. Weird line there, Morenci, 234. And Phoenix at the Clippers, LA minus 8, 232.5. Booker probable for the Suns. And hey, the King, he's the highest played player in the NBA for a fifth straight year. LeBron James claimed top spot on the Forbes annual list. His earnings, $88.7 million. James' salary and bonuses make up for $35.7 million. The other $53 million comes in from endorsement deals with Nike, Coke, Beats by Dre, 2K Sports, and Blaze Pizza. Steph Curry, number 2 on the list, $79.5 million. Kevin Durant in the 3-hole at $65 million. Westbrook, 4th. James Harden, 5th. Soccer action we talked about. Real Madrid getting a 2-1 win over Ajax. And Tottenham smoking Borussia Dortmund, 3-0. Two games in the NHL tonight. Edmonton and Pittsburgh. And Vancouver at Anaheim there. John Gibson and Chad Johnson both out for the Ducks. Kevin Boyle makes his first start for the Ducks. Vancouver minus 130. I'm Cam Stewart. Stick around. We got our buddy Cam Blue. We'll talk MMA, football, and a whole lot more. Stay tuned to Red Heat Rage.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
Level 2, Game Time Decisions, Ready and Rage Radio. A lot of stuff going on, NBA All-Star Weekend, NFL. NFL takes center stage earlier in the day. They got tired of all this AAF talk. They're like, hey, remember us? surprising move.
Excellent point.
Yeah, not surprising that Baltimore was moving on from Joe Flacco. I mean, obviously they were moving on from Joe Flacco. Lamar Jackson is now their quarterback. I'm just surprised that it happened this early. I mean, you're not even technically allowed to do deals. It's kind of weird in the NFL. I mean, you can't do any deals until March 13th. But they just did the deal and said, whatever, it'll be official March 13th. So I don't know why you have the rule, because if you just did the deal, what's the point of having
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
If teams are just going to do the deal anyways. But and also would make a more entertaining offseason, right, if teams are allowed to do deals right now. I mean, we saw Kareem Hunt, you know, sign. Interesting, you know, that we saw Kareem Hunt sign earlier in the weekend, and boom, Baltimore makes this move thinking, you know what, let's get ahead of this as well. And once again, I will reiterate. The biggest rumor about Joe Flacco, Cam, was that he was going to go to Tampa Bay. That they were going to let they're not going to re-sign Ryan Fitzpatrick, and that they would bring in Joe Flacco to back up James Winston to sort of threaten Winston a bit. And there were numerous, you know, articles about that, and ooh, sources say this and blah blah blah. Wrong once again. I'm telling you, it's time and time again. Like every move that actually happens is never like even Machado. We keep hearing, oh, San Diego, the Yankees, the Phillies, like you know, the White
happening?
Sox.
I know.
Watch, he's going to sign with the Rockies, like out of the blue or something, right? It's never. It's sort of never what we all think it is. You know, sports aren't that simple. But yeah, I didn't see this coming with Joe Flacco. You know, it's like a little cap move and stuff like that. You know, I guess they figure it's better to have Flacco for 1 year than to have Case Keenum for 1 year. You know, Flacco can throw the deep ball, but they don't even have any wide receivers. They don't even have any wide receivers to throw to.
That's right. Yep. There you go.
I guess Emmanuel Sanders will be back, right?
That's the only guy, yeah. But Thomas is already gone. Texans are going to lay they're going to release him, too, because of how much money he makes.
I'll tell you, like, depends on what the number is, but I'm looking at Denver Broncos under season win total next year.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, level two continues. Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage, a radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Networks, iHeartRadio, a couple other platforms as well. We appreciate you joining us. I am Renzi, Cam Stewart with us. Mark Lawrence already joined us. Always good breaking it down with Mark Lawrence as Mark shared some of his database with us. Now let's bring in another top handicapper, Lou Gamblou. You notice all the cappers live in warm weather locations.
Excellent point.
Mark in Florida, Lou in Arizona. What's up, Lou?
Not too much, guys. I got to say, though, the cold snap that's hitting the United States is affecting Arizona. It's been nippy here for a month, and I've been putting burlap on my flowers and stuff at night, and I'm getting tired of it. I gotta be honest.
Burlap on my flowers. Lou, I'll dream for burlap on my flowers. We're under like an ice siege here, Lou. It's crazy.
I was doing a podcast with Lou on a Saturday night once, and it's Lou, so we're having a couple of drinks, and I was like, all right, Lou, have a good night. I think it was New Year's Eve, and you're like, yeah, I gotta go cover my flowers up now. I was like, what? Yeah, Lou takes his gardening serious.
Well, I do all my yard work, and you know, the flowers look good. And if I could get, I'll tell you what, if I get 1 week of decent warm weather, they'll really come up. But it's been, you know, it's been 32, 34 at night. Now, I know that we're pussies here, and we can't take the heat. I get it. Or we can't take the cold. I get it. And I do really feel for the people in the rest of the country that have real cold and frigid weather. But we have thin skin here, and it's colder than a brass toilet in the Yukon.
That's pretty good.
That's a great one. That's a good one.
Did you live in the Yukon, Cam, or is Northwest Territories?
Yes, I lived in the Yellowknife Northwest Territories for 5 years, Gabe. Yeah. You know what, there, when it's a minus 30, I actually had a buddy, they had a honey bucket. They didn't have a running water. Like, are you kidding me? Like, they used to live in this place, like they were shacks. So imagine that, like living in that type of weather, and you're like going to pee and poo in buckets and stuff, man. It's different people out there. They're tough.
Good, you want
to
talk about tough.
I actually saw it was, it snowed in Hawaii. I'm not sure if it snowed everywhere in Hawaii, but some of the islands I saw was covered in snow.
Crazy.
It's snowing in Nevada. I know that. I was in Vegas when I lived there. There, I saw snow once. It actually snowed one night I was there through like two and a half years or so. Yet, you know, and I was wondering. I'm like, am I seeing things? You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of cold out, but it was like melting before it hit the ground type thing. So it was coming down. It was cold enough to get snow, but it was melting when it hit the ground. The craziest thing with Nevada and in Vegas, and I never really knew about this stuff, Lou, is the flash floods. You know what I mean? I'm like, how can it be a flood, man, in the desert? Like, there's no water here. But, man, it rained in Vegas once, and it caused serious chaos, bro. Like, destroyed like half of UNLV's campus. I don't mean to laugh about it because I think some people passed away, like, they basically floated away in their cars. They're not used to this stuff either, right?
Oh, no. Phoenix, first of all, Phoenix has no sewer system, okay? So mostly everything runs downhill, and we have what we call washes, which are large rivers that fill up immediately. And the reason that it floods in places like Vegas and Arizona is because the sun beats on our turf, and it isn't turf, it's pavement. Our dirt ends up being, it's clay, and after that sun bakes on it 7 months at 110 for, you know, 100 years, it's like pavement. And so no water absorbs into the ground when it rains. So it sheets and it torrents downhill, and it's a terrible situation. We get 3-4 inches of rain, maybe total of 6 a year, and, you know, 4.5 of it will come in a 6-week period. So it's hardly good when it comes, and it's destructive.
You guys get sandstorms too, right?
We get what is called a haboob, and that's the title of my blog this week, Heavyweight Haboob. And I'm telling you, what a haboob is, a haboob is basically a flood in the air. So if you can imagine all that filth water coming into your house, if you don't have your car windows up or your house windows up when a haboob comes, you will have soot everywhere. It's really a terrible, terrible natural disaster. And I'm gonna post a picture of an actual one that hit Phoenix up on Twitter here while we're speaking. But I'm telling you, it's the worst.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've saw some sandstorms in Vegas too. It's pretty crazy, man. Like, the visibility is none, and it comes out of nowhere too. It starts swirling. You're like, holy crap, man! This is getting real pretty fast.
Like tornadoes? Is it like little tornadoes?
Nah, it's just like it's like a snowstorm except sand, Cam. It's like you can't see anything. It's just. Yeah, like Lou said, it's just like the atmosphere just comes at you. Like
in many occasions, Cam, they look like small. They call them dust devils. But in the case of a haboob, it's actually a natural phenomena, and it's. I'm posting it now to Twitter. It's literally a wall of filth, and you can see it coming, and it's just. It's a scary, scary natural phenomena.
All right. Kawhi Leonard is out tonight, just for the record.
Yeah, we knew it. He was out. And Van Fleet out for 5 weeks, too, buddy. That's anyway, they got depth.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about tonight. It's the All-Star weekend, but.
True.
You know what? I think maybe Kawhi shouldn't play in the All-Star game, to be honest.
I'm kind of with you.
You know, listen, if his knee's acting up. And it has been, but he's played a couple of nights in a row, which was weird. I don't know why. Like, I don't know. Like, he played number one, I went to the game. I wouldn't have played him against the Knicks Saturday. I wouldn't have played him. You know what I mean? Like, they're picking their spots, but then they played him Saturday. They played him Monday. Now it's Wednesday. I get it, but, you know, I'm not going to tell someone not to go to the All-Star game. It's, you know, they earn that right. So it's just, listen, you know, it might be better that the Raptors don't play again, Cam, until next week. The game, I'll be there next Friday.
That's, yeah, that's like, the thing. Like, this, like, NBA All-Star,
it's a nice
break,
long,
it's a
nice
real
long
break
for them, you know?
Oh, big time. Yeah, you can get healthy in that. That's a good point. And the thing is, Morency, I think going into the playoffs and stuff, we talk about if you're going to do this with them, an All-Star game's an exhibition. You're going to need them down the stretch in a tough Eastern Conference. You might as well just take it, get better, and then go down the stretch healthier. I'm with you on that.
All right. So, speaking of Haboobs in Arizona, Cain Velasquez returns. That's why that was the heavyweight Haboob earlier.
That's exactly what the name of the blog is this week, guys. I wanted to, you know, I always try and pick up something local from the area.
Yeah. Awesome.
I like it. Heavyweight, yeah. Heavyweight Haboob. UFC on ESPN 1. Ngannou versus Velasquez. Cain Velasquez returns after a prolonged layoff. And takes on Ngannou right now, who has hit a little bit of a wall. Now, I'm looking right now. It opened. Where's this number going, Lou? It's down to 165 right now. What was the high peak of it? Wasn't it higher like last week?
I track Pinnacle at openers because since Five Dimes lost Nick Kalikas, those openers are so loose and you just can't trust them. But if you look at Five Dimes, you can see that on the 26th of January, Cain Velasquez was minus 280. At Pinnacle, Velasquez opened 2.25. So right now he's $165, $170 anywhere you look.
This is taking place in Phoenix, Arizona. Cain Velasquez fighting in his backyard. We'll break down his card on the other side. Lou from Gambloop.com with us, Fantasy Sports Radio Networks, iHeartRadio, and more.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. Fantasy Sports Radio Network continues. Back to live action. We're in conversation with the main man, Lou from Arizona. Gambloo.com. You can go to his website, Gambloo.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Gambloo. So, Cain Velasquez returns. He last fought Travis Brown. It says July 9th, 2016. And, you know, it's a long time ago. So,
sure is.
Cain Velasquez, speaking of boobs and clouds and stuff, there's some cool-looking clouds hovering over the skyline of Manhattan right now. So it's been a long time, and I talked about it earlier, Lou. Like, Cain Velasquez is one of my favorite all-time fighters. Like, I used to be the belief that Cain was, like, pound-for-pound best out of anyone. If you look at his losses, he's 14-2 in his career. He got clipped. I'm not going to say Dos Santos got lucky, because Dos Santos is a hell of a fighter, especially in that era. And I remember that night I was in Los Angeles. I was going to the card. I was going to the fight, and me and T-Bone and Mick Aussie actually got lost. And I think it's called Katana. It's East Katana and West Katana or something like that. We're idiots. Like, we didn't have GPS. Like, we basically went – we went the wrong way, Cam. Like – we ended up on like the way other end. It was like the card was starting in like 30 minutes. We were already late. It was like, dude, there's a bar right there. They say they have it on. Thing is, we were in L.A. Like, we actually went there, like, to go to it. We actually got lost. We tapped out. We ended up drinking at a biker bar. It turned into quite the experience, actually. But my point is, it was a long time ago. You know what I mean? That was a long time ago. So he got clipped, and he avenged that loss after two times. He beat the crap out of Dos Santos, so Santos is never the same again. Then he was all gassed in Mexico City that night against Fabricio Werdum. June 13, 2015, they learned their lesson. Don't book heavyweights to fight in the altitude of Mexico City. And Cain Velasquez, Lou, was someone that was known for having the best cardio, like, out of anyone. Like, not just heavyweight, but they're like, this guy's cardio is unbelievable. And he, you know, he didn't have it. My own personal opinion with Cain Velasquez is, and I see now he's 36 years old. He hasn't fought in 3 years. You notice, like, Cain has never been like, I want my belt back. I want this back. Cain Velasquez is a really nice guy who, quite frankly, I don't really think likes beating the shit out of people. Like, I think his, you've seen his desire in the past, Lou, a little bit. You know, he's a great athlete. He's got a God-given, you know what I mean, gift. He put all that work in. I think he's just tired, man. You know, all the wrestling at Arizona State, the grinding in MMA, the battles that he was in, it took its toll. The question is, what's he going to be now with 3 years off, taking on a pretty much a haboob in its own right that's only 4 years younger but hasn't, not the same type of damage in Francis Ngannou here. Interesting fight, Lou.
Very interesting fight. Great styles make fights, kind of a fight. Ngannou is just huge on power. He's very singularly dimensioned. And I don't believe that it's possible to compete against a world-class base wrestler with 6 months to a year of understanding you need to work on wrestling, okay? The unknown with Cain Velasquez, and you covered it comprehensively, Gabriel, is what's driving this price down. And then as we get closer to the face-offs and the weigh-ins in this fight, and the public gets to look at this huge, chiseled, gargantuan monster, Francis Ngannou, that's chiseled out of marble, standing next to a guy that looks like a plumber or a drywaller in Cain Velasquez, and I think you're going to get more line value. I think there's going to be even more line value on Cain Velasquez. So the uncertainty is providing value in the point spread. If you are like me and you're willing to trust, and this is where MMA is different than boxing. These gyms are families. And AKA with Cormier, Nurmagomedov, Luke Rockhold, and Cain Velasquez, those guys have been watching him in the background. Cormier still sings the praises of Velasquez. I don't believe that group lets Velasquez go out there unless he's ready and really ready to perform. And I don't think Velasquez does either. And I think his understated tone so far this week is a tell that he's ready to explode. And I just love the value on Cain Velasquez to keep this fight going into the second or third round when Ngannou will have lost all effectiveness, and then it'll be the Cain Velasquez show.
The world-class wrestling aspect of it, and Cain, listen, Cain's amongst the best in the business, and he was. Great wrestler, Arizona State, as we talked about. You know, like you said, you got to take a leap of faith. He's not 46, he's not 39, he's not 42, he's 36. He's had some years off. He's never really, you know, he got clipped in the temple on the side of the ear against Dos Santos, and he got subbed, and he was just gassed that night. You know, he hit a wall. He was tired. He needed some time off. He hit a wall in Mexico that night against Werdum. So it's the one thing, Lou. It's not like Cain Velasquez has been beat up like some heavyweights. You know what I mean? How many times has he really been punched? Like, Roy Nelson's probably been punched like 2,200 times. I know he has the actual record for being hit that many times. And Cain Velasquez has literally probably been punched in his career like 30 times, Cam, if that. I'm not even exaggerating. Like, he's killed people.
He's taken damage in his gym. But let's clear up Mexico City, okay?
Yes, that's true.
Cain Velasquez showed up in Mexico City 7 days ahead of Mexico City's higher altitude than Denver. And
Verdum was there for like 6 weeks.
He was there 6 weeks to acclimate. And so that wasn't Cain not being ready for, not being prepared in cardiovascularly. That was Cain not judging the altitude of Mexico City. That was a stupid move.
Yeah, but everyone knew that, Lou. It wasn't. I think he thought my cardio was so good anyways.
Yeah, all it cost him was the championship. So those kinds of errors, if you're a pro, you can't make those kinds of errors. And quite honestly,
yeah, but he had lost his desire, Lou. Like, I can speak, you know, sort of from even a little bit behind the scenes that
from talking to him and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. Like he wasn't happy about the money that he was making. If you remember, like, he was like, I don't need this. I don't even make that much money. Like, you know, he wasn't.
Agreement.
He's not a guy that lives for this. That's all I'm saying. He's an athlete. He's not a fighter.
I would say if I'm the UFC and I want Cain Velasquez to look really good and I want to propel him to some kind of super fight to take against John Jones or whoever it's going to be, I'm going to give him Nagano. Nagano's the same thing as Lesnar, this big, huge super freak that's made for Velasquez. That's my opinion.
And we saw Velasquez, Cam. Velasquez beat up Brock Lesnar pretty good.
Sure did.
When they fought. Listen, Kane's lethal, man. And Nagano's dangerous, but we've seen Nagano in these big spots. Yeah, like,
yeah. Kane needs for Nagano, time and accumulation.
For Nagano to win, Lou, does he have to, like, he's got to clip him early, that type
he's
of thing?
Because
the longer
out.
It goes, the longer it goes, Velasquez will just beat him down. Is that your strategy, you think, Gabe? In that fight?
Well, my deal is, I hope, and the thing is, Cain Velasquez used to use his wrestling, and it was impossible. Like, you just couldn't, you know, him and Cormier basically were the guys, and they said, you know, you can't stop him from taking you down, basically. It's impossible to stop him. Yet he started knocking people out, right? And it, when that starts to happen, guys sort of get away from their base a little bit. But I think Cain, if he's coming back, he's doing this for money. Right, he wants to make money, like Lou just stated. He knows, and all he has to do is win this one fight. He wins this one fight, boom. He's in a fight where they actually pay real money now, at least for these title fights, as opposed to what he used to get in $120,000 and garbage, whatever. So, you know, he could be motivated. He's got a kid. He's pushed by his family. We'll put it that way. So. You know, he wins this fight. There is big money. And where I'm going with this, Lou, is then if he's smart, he takes Nagano down. If he takes Nagano down, there's no way in hell Francis Nagano can stop it. Like, I imagine that's the game plan. I know he can stand and bang and stuff, but why stand and bang with this guy that puts his fist through bank vaults, right? Just take the guy down, and he'll be able to control him, Lou. That's the way I see this.
I do think Nagano is aware that that is what's going to be the plan, and he's going to have his best takedown defense early in the fight. So it's the It's the first 6 minutes of this fight that I will be most concerned about my wager on Velasquez. But if this thing gets to the second round and I get a minute into the second round, I'm going to start to relax and put my feet up, because I think that's when the accumulation and the attrition and the unrelenting pressure from the world-class wrestler will start to take the fight the other way.
Lou,
he's only 165, Gabe. That's from the way you guys are talking. You guys think that's a great price. 165 for, like, you feel pretty confident. Like, you got to get.
Yeah, I think it's a good price.
Like, I say, what do you think he should be? About 200, 220 more?
Well, he opened up that, right?
Yeah.
Put it this way, Cam. Next week at this time, if they line the fight again, they'll line at 250 or 260.
Good call. Yeah. So you're getting 165. That's a hell of a difference. I think I'm going to jump on it now.
You know what it is? And now you know, this stuff's on ESPN.
I'd wait.
Yeah. That's the thing. I was going to say that. Nagano, Cam, is so impressive physically. Like, so any, you know, you watch everything we just said, watch like a highlight clip of this guy killing people. Yeah. You'll be like, oh my God. Like, look at this guy's power. You're going to be like, And he's very impressive looking, right? And Kane hasn't fought in 3 years, so I can see why people are buying in. Look, I'm looking on Sherdog right now. They're predicting Nagano knocks Cain Velasquez out in the second round. Sherdog's a pretty respected site. All right, so quick break. We'll hit James, Vick, and Felder on the other side.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Luque and Barbarina.
All right, we're back, Luke.
Lou's ready to party tonight. Yeah.
Game time, yeah. What, birthday party, a tequila party
Luke.
Tonight, Luke?
Yeah, we're jealous, Luke.
My good friend Belinda turns 50, and so me and a couple of my buddies are going to take her out. And she's a great gal. She's a title agent. She takes us realtors out all the time and wines and dines us, and she never lets us pay for anything because we run all our escrows through her. So tonight it's her birthday, and we told her no credit card, we're paying. And we're going to go out and have a few belts. This gal here is a great gal, and she could drink me and all four of my friends that are showing up right under the table.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. So we hope you have a we hope you have a great time this evening. So we talked about Cain Velasquez and Ngannou. We like Cain Velasquez in that fight. Another interesting. Are you good? You know, you didn't get the press pass. Are you still going? Are you going to go? Are you going to get a ticket, Lou, or are you going to watch at home?
I believe I've made a dynamic breakthrough in the press pass situation. The young,
oh, you did.
The young contact at the UFC that I'm currently working with has been a superstar, and I can't officially say that I have it, but I've been told that it's going to get approved, and so it looks like I'm going to be at press row Sunday for these fights, and I'm so excited since I was a little kid listening to Frazier Ali on a clock radio. I wanted to be sitting at fights working in some capacity. So I'm really fired up.
Good stuff. Good stuff, Lou. So Sunday, that's right. It's not Saturday, this stuff. Sunday?
Sunday.
It's Sunday, yes, for whatever reason. Probably just to feed most of the NFL people's fuel because they can't deal with basketball before it gets good into March.
It's NBA All-Star game on Sunday night, so it's going up against that.
Oh, that's a sleeper.
What, NBA?
I'd rather watch paint dry.
All right, so Paul Felder.
Lou's awesome, yes.
Paul.
Felder?
Felder. Yeah, James Vick and Paul Felder, too. Like I said, two dudes with pretty bad intentions. I mean, these guys are going to stand in a phone booth and just beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
I sort of got the feeling that Vic was a younger man than Felder, but he really isn't, only by 1 year, Lou.
No, Vic's 30 and Felder's 34.
Hold on, I see. Wait, am I wrong here? Let me see. I'm seeing, okay, Felder 33, Vic 31. My bad.
Okay.
33, 31.
Okay, so
close.
So that's 2 years. I'm showing four. But more importantly in this fight, to me, I think Felder's the tighter, cleaner, crisper fighter, better defense. But Vic's going to be the taller, rangier guy with tremendous reach. The issue with Vic is he's got terrible tall man's disease. And if you sneeze on him, he goes out. And Felder's not the guy you want to go out against.
So it sounds like Lou's looking at Felder. Felder,
yeah, I look at Felder as being live here. I want to kind of wait a little bit and see. I see that at again, Pinnacle had him opening. Felder opened -141. Now he's +104. That's a little interesting giving me Felder at plus money, I'm liable to take any plus price on Felder. And there are a couple other more live dogs, especially MMA Lab fighters, on this card that I think are going to perform well.
Is Courtney Casey an MMA Lab fighter?
Yes, she is, and I think she's in a really good position. It's great to be able to go to the lab and be spoon-fed information like I am, but it's even better when there's a UFC event like this in our backyard where I can go for 3 or 4 weeks and I can actually watch these coaches and how they break down the opponent for their fighters and then match fighters against them in their rounds of sparring. That is exactly what they're going to see against the fighter that they have upcoming. They do a great job at that, Jim, and I learned so much by being able to watch that. And the long and the short of it is Courtney Casey is very live at a plus 250, 260 underdog here.
What do you think of Gracie coming into the UFC here? Obviously, all of his wins via submission and Ryzen and RFC, so he comes into the UFC and he gets Alex Caceres, who, Alex Caceres sort of the gatekeeper, mid-card guy that they throw on these cards. A lot of talent never really fully come together for him, but what do you make of this? Gracie's a big favorite in this fight, Lou. Is Caceres a live dog in your opinion?
Yeah, if I were ever going to throw the F-bomb, I'd say abso-friggin-lutely, Gabriel, because I could tell you that, and I've been fooled on Alex before, okay? But what Alex really likes is limelight, and he's gotten some here. And I've watched him prepare, and he's going against guys like Taquino, and he's starting in the corner of the octagon on his back with those guys on top of him, and then he starts the round that way getting up. He's absolutely preparing for Gracie. And what we know of Gracie is that he's singularly dimensional. He's more one-dimensional in his grappling than Francis Ngannou is as a striker. And so this fight can be classified in one phrase, and that's one mistake. If Caceres makes one mistake, he's going to get subbed. I think he's ready to perform at his absolute best. And I've said this here many, many times before. When I can find a guy that I know is going to go out there and give me his absolute best, I'm going to take him. And I'll take Caceres currently plus 300 or 310 at 5 dimes.
Yeah, I don't understand the number of this.
He's a big dog. That's big.
Well, it's not a jiu-jitsu competition. It's an MMA fight. Yeah,
that's a good point, Gabe.
I mean, the guy's 4, all right, I get it, you're 4-0, you choked out a bunch of dudes, now you're fighting a real guy that's dynamic and bounce around a little bit. He's got a stick and jab, he's got to get in and out, he's got to dance around, as you stated, he can't, it's like staying away from a snake, you know, an anaconda. You got to keep your distance and get in and out, in and out, in and out. Can he do it? You know, at that price, definitely worth taking a look at. Miles Jury, Lou. Miles Jury's a guy that I know he went with my boys, with Bader and these guys, actually. So he went to Arizona. I don't know if he's still there, actually, now. But Miles Jury was a dude. There was a lot of hype about him. He lost back-to-back fights to Cowboy Cerrone and Charles Oliveira. He's beaten Mike De La Torre, beat Rick Lamb, but he's coming off a loss to Chad Mendez. What do you make of this Andre Feely-Miles Jury fight?
Well, I sure don't think there's any real crime in getting beat by Mendez, even though Mendez just recently got beat. I do like Feely in this position a little bit. He had a really close loss to Michael Johnson, which I think is really a feather in his cap. He beat Bermudez the fight before that. And I'm not overly convinced that Miles Jury's really a top 20 or 25 fighter in the UFC. And I think Feely's a top 15
really shown
fighter.
It.
He hasn't shown it. He's shown himself
he
be
never
a little
got
bit
better.
Lack of, he seemed to not improve. And Feely's improved his striking. And he's got a deft grappling game. I think Philly is a good, worthy consideration.
You know, I'm looking at Jimmy Rivera here. Yeah, real tough guy, Cam. Jimmy Rivera taking all Aljamain Sterling.
Sterling?
Man, Riviera's been in there with everybody. Riviera's beaten wrestlers before. An experienced fighter, dangerous fighter. No shame in losing to Marlon Morales, as we know. You get Sterling coming in here. Sterling's pretty one-dimensional, Lou, in my opinion. I mean, what do you make of this number here? I'm looking at Jimmy Rivera in this fight.
Gosh, you know what? I can't wait for this fight. It's funny because you get two New Yorkers that got to come to Phoenix to fight. And I do favor Sterling a little bit with his range and his size. I think he has improved his striking well enough to keep Rivera outside long enough to wrestle him. I think Aljo has to wrestle Jimmy Rivera, and that's where his advantage is, as the 3 inches taller man with 3-inch reach advantage, as well the legs. I lean to Aljamain Sterling here, Gabriel. I think he's a very live dog, and I like Longo Sarah Jim as well. I lean to Aljo, and I think I'm gonna bet him.
Lou,
thing I noticed, Gabe, Lou, like a lot of nice sharp prices. Like other than the Gracie and Luque, everything else is like one. Like look how cheap it is, like 150 to plus 130, 170. Like there's none of this minus 550 stuff. Like a lot of these fights are pretty tight. Like you look up and down, like it should be pretty competitive. You're seeing like you don't see that, Gabe, a lot of the time, right? Like look at all the bottom fights. They're all like all the favorites. The biggest one is minus 200. That's pretty good.
I think it makes for a better card. I love the observation.
It's a good card. You're right. Evenly matched fights. All right, last one before we got a couple of minutes left here, and I want to get your thoughts on Joe Flacco and the NFL, Kareem Hunt, et cetera. But Henan Burrell, it's amazing. Guy that won 30 fights in a row, whatever the hell it was. Here he is buried on the undercard here. He's lost 3 fights in a row, and in fact, he's lost 5 of his last 6 fights. Lou, I don't know if it's a post-testing situation, but, the guy basically just sort of lost it overnight. We've seen, his buddy, Jose Aldo, get a second wind. It's not the same. Aldo didn't get his ass handed to him repeatedly like Burrell has. What do you make of this fight against Luke Saunders, Sanders' favorite here?
Yeah, Sanders used to work out at the lab, no longer anymore. But I'll tell you, when that kid comes focused and ready to fight, He's very good. And what is he? He's a dynamic, really unrelenting wrestler. And we know that wrestlers are kryptonite to Brazilian jiu-jitsu artists. And as much as I want to like an underdog and I try and handicap an underdog, this is Sanders all day.
Sanders all day. Colonel Sanders, Ooh. KFC. KFC.
See.
Finger looking good, baby.
Yeah,
Joe Flacco. What do you make of this?
I think that I'm starting to worry about John Elway's ability to do what he's doing, and far be it from me to question him. Okay, but Joe Flacco is no. So what? Now we got a competition at quarterback. He's no lay down better quarterback than Case Keenum. How did they better themselves here? I don't get it. I'll wait. I'll watch. But I'm skeptical. I'm very skeptical. Meanwhile, Foles is still out there. That's what intrigues me. I'll be interesting to see where he lands. But Flacco is a statue. He's brittle. He can't move. And they don't have a very good offensive line. I just don't see where they improve.
Yeah, and they traded away all their wide receivers. I guess so. Emmanuel Sanders was hurt.
Sanders was the only guy left. Yeah.
They have a shaky line. It's a strange move. Like you said, I'm going to sort of reserve judgment. I think they're going to let Keenum go. I don't know if they're trading
trade
him or they're waving him or what the hell
the
deal is. What kind of hit they take. I guess they actually saved $3 million or $2.8 in cap space this year. And Flacco's only under contract for 1 year, but it's just sort of kicking the can down the road some more with the quarterback position there, Lou, in which that they just constantly do. And they've wasted a pretty awesome defense.
Yeah, and if you're on that defense, if you're on that team in the locker room and you're looking at each other, what the hell are you thinking right now? Holy smoke.
Lou, gamblew.com. Thanks for the time, Lou.
Have fun, Lou.
Always appreciate it. Everybody have a good weekend. We'll talk next week. Thank you.
Have a good time tonight at the birthday party. Stay safe.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Wednesdays, Wicked Wednesdays, always solid stuff here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Game Time Decisions. Top-class stuff with Mark Lawrence and LouGamblew.com. And then, of course, we get to Cam's golf bag. And we got some golf to talk about, actually. On the other side, we'll hit it from a betting perspective. Riviera, we'll get a lot of tweets from you. We'll hit it from a DFS perspective. We'll get Cam's plays, my plays. I'll run the optimizer. I'm working on the NBA right now as we speak. It's always tough to do the NBA DFS, you know, before this time of the day, to be honest with you, because of the lineup situations. You've got Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trailblazers tonight. Golden State, you know, dude, they're like 15-1 in their last 16 games or something like that now. They're not covering because they're laying big numbers all the time, but I could see them closing strong tonight, actually, against Portland. I don't think they mail it in. And I'm seeing, Cam, the last seven times this year, the Warriors have played back-to-back games. They're 6-1, bro. You know, when you have Durant, DeMarcus Cousins, and
very, very
Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, everyone, like, not really. I mean, Portland are a good home team.
Yeah, I would have made it about 4.5, 5, not 3. Like, 3 seasons.
You basically add 5 points.
Yeah,
no, but you add 5 points for home court. I mean, they're not. If they made it 4.5, 5, Cam, 5.5, they're not getting two-way action, bro.
Yeah,
like you got to think like this isn't the NFL where like it's Johnny Public betting this stuff. People that bet the NBA bet the NBA every night. You know what I mean? And they know they'd be like people would be like, oh shit, I'm taking Portland plus 5.5 here, right? It's a back-to-back. Thing is, Portland are kind of cold right now. They've been on the road. They're giving up a ton of points. I don't know, Cam. I'll be honest with you, dude. It's the last night before the All-Star break. It's always tough, dude.
It's hard to get
in ahead of these teams, you know?
It's an excellent thing. We're not psychologists, and it was great last night with the dogs. I'm not going to blindly bet dogs again. I'll look for a couple angles or whatever. You said it, Morenci. Like, got to be smart. I built up the account again last night with some good plays in the NHL and the NBA, and don't want to give it back. It's one of those things, man. I'm like, I told you, new strategies, buddy. I'm only playing a couple games now. It's a tough board. Very tough.
Sacramento and Denver's a fun game tonight, actually.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Lots of points. You know, the Denver Nuggets have won 18 straight home games if they're favorites. They've covered. They're 14-4 in that stretch, too.